From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 377, Chef on Windows with guest Stephen Murawski, recorded Thursday, July 10th, 2014. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. Thanks for listening to Run As Radio. It's episode 377, and I've got a regular guest coming back. Steve Murawski is the community manager for Chef, the automation platform of the new IT, and a Microsoft MVP in PowerShell. Stephen is the co-host of Ops All the Things podcast. He also serves on the board of directors of LOPSA, which is the League of Professional Systems Administrators. And Stephen helps run two local user groups, the Greater Milwaukee IT Pro User Group and the Greater Milwaukee Script Club. And he speaks regularly to local user groups and can be found at various conferences, which is generally where I see you.
Yep. And most recently, we bumped into each other at TechEd.
Yeah. Well, you came to play in Speakerado, which was crazy.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. You know, I didn't make it very far, but I got some great feedback, and that was actually the best part of it. Actually getting that feedback from experienced speakers, and you know, and a 5-minute talk is hard.
Hardest thing you can do. It truly is. Yeah, I keep threatening Manassi with, maybe I'll get you to do a 5-minute talk, because Manassi can't give a 5-minute critique of a 5-minute talk.
Oh, I know. I mean, it's hard for me to say hi in about a half an hour, much less actually deliver some content of value in that short time. So, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to do. There were a lot of good speakers. I caught some of the other heats, and you know, there was just a really, it was a really good array of speakers and topics, and I got some interesting ideas and pointers and what I can do to kind of improve my, to level up my game somewhat.
Sure.
Which is important, because I'm just in the process of changing jobs. Today is actually my last official day at Stack Exchange, so by the time this is published, I will be, as you mentioned in the intro, community manager for Chef. So basically, I'm moving into a less operational role and into a more talking role, or you know, do a lot more talking, training, and that kind of fun stuff.
No more real work for you? What's up with that?
Yeah, well, you know, I was right about the time of TechEd, and shortly before there and shortly after there. ChefConf was shortly before TechEd, and then when I was at TechEd, just the level of interest around declarative configuration management, specifically around DSC, sessions around using Chef and DSC and Puppet with Azure, and all of the new plumbing that they have actually in Azure for these configuration management tools, and just bumping into people and talking to people. There was so much interest around this declarative configuration management topic that it kind of sealed in for me. I've been talking to the Chef folks for a while, and I really liked what they were doing to leverage DSC. They actually see it as an API on Windows that they can leverage to better provide a configuration management experience. And so after seeing what they were doing and then seeing the interest level at TechEd, helped co-author a book on desired state configuration with Don Jones, and we publish it through PowerShell.org as a free ebook. We gave away 3,000 copies of that in the first day and a half of TechEd.
Nice.
There were 10,000 downloads of it at that time. The level of interest that I've seen from the Windows administrator community kind of just sealed to me that this is an important topic. I like where Chef is going, and they are a full solution, desired state configuration on Windows, which I've been working with now for a little over a year. It's not a full solution. It is a feature on Windows, and you can build a lot of stuff around it. And that's what I've been doing at Stack Exchange. Well, Chef already has that full end-to-end product with, you know, dashboarding and monitoring and a full, you know, a testing environment. And there's a whole feature set around that. And for those of us who want to leverage the power of desired state configuration, but have that turnkey solution to start with, I think Chef's in the best position to do that.
And everyone thinks of Chef really as an open, you know, part of the LAMP stack, not part of the Windows stack. I know Microsoft made some announcements back at Build, but I mean, how friendly is it in the Windows world?
It's getting friendlier.
That's a great answer, Stephen. You could be a community manager.
Exactly. Well, and so, you know, I just wanted to say that that's kind of what my role is now is coming to Windows admins, Windows developers about how we can make, how we can bring our skill set and this tooling together to have a better experience running and administering our environments. So, you know, as you mentioned, Chef and many of the other tools like Puppet and Ansible and SaltStack, those all tend to have come from, you know, more of this Linux and open source background. And as it stands, most of their server products run on Linux. And
right.
But they've all got clients and they're all building these Windows. They're trying to build out their Windows story now, because as they're getting into enterprise and as they're getting into other businesses, they're saying, hey, okay, we love that we can do all this stuff on our Linux platforms, but what about our Windows boxes? You know, we've got all this these Windows servers, and we want to have these same capabilities.
Right.
And there's this different management model between Windows and Linux, and, you know, Windows being more API driven and Linux being more document driven. Mm-hmm. You know, in order to do most configuration on a Linux system, need to know how to restart services and edit configuration files.
That is the Linux way.
Right. And that's intentional. But on Windows, we have all these different APIs that we use to manage things. And there's a little different management model. And the command line story on Windows until recently has been very scattered.
Yeah. PowerShell is sort of penetrated in places, but there's no comprehensive feel to it.
Right. Though with Server 2012 and Server 2012 R2, there's a much greater scope of coverage with PowerShell. Mm-hmm. And with each release of other products like, you know, SharePoint and SQL Server and the System Center products, their PowerShell support keeps evolving and getting better. And PowerShell support for Azure. And so PowerShell is kind of becoming this unified management interface. And then you can layer on top of that desired state configuration. And desired state configuration gives you the ability to use PowerShell, or if you're real hardcore, you can actually write WMI and to create these resources. And one of the things that we're doing at Chef is looking at how we can best leverage, and there's some, and we have some beta features around leveraging DSC resources natively, just like a Chef resource. So pretty much, you know, if I was looking at this in the case of the Stack Exchange infrastructure, I could almost do a drop-in replacement of the Chef agent and a Chef configuration for what I'm doing in DSC.
Hmm.
I say almost because the feature set's still beta and still being worked out, but it's getting there. And they've done some demos at TechEd where they showed where they could just leverage some of the experimental resources that the PowerShell team has released. So Chef's doing some interesting work there, and I'm really eager to get playing more intensely with that, and to see how you know, delightful we can make configuration management on the Windows side of things.
And I just got to think a lot of folks are still trying to figure how all these pieces fit together. You know, for me, DSC was about being able to make small changes to a configuration, an update to an app, a new version of tools, and then being able to point that at an existing instance of a server, and it'll make the updates to it. Am I wrong?
Yes and no. So it can be used that way, but really it's for managing the structure of that server or to provide a particular service. So all of the configuration management tooling, whether it's DSC or Chef or Puppet or Ansible, they provide a way to describe services or roles or some package of functionality for how you want your server to look. And pretty much all these tools they're positive assertions. So you want to want to assert that a system is going to look a certain way. It's not doing any negative things where it's if I say I want these Windows features installed, it's going to go find every other Windows feature and disable it.
Right.
You have to be very intentional about what you want to say. And then most of them work in this kind of test and repair fashion where they'll look at each of the things and go, the real benefit of these tools is in the ongoing maintenance of these systems, watching that configuration, preventing that drift. And then, as you said, when I want to update something, I make a tweak to it. I push a new configuration out. The server finds the configuration and it brings itself into compliance and being able to do that over time. But my reliance on a particular physical or virtual machine starts to go away, and my reliance is on that configuration document. That configuration document or that configuration structure is what defines how my application platform should look.
I like the declarative approach of this is a living document because we actually execute this to make a machine. But I think the more salient point you just made is this is about being sure that the configuration you think is out in the field is actually in the field. Because like you say, machines drift. Stuff gets changed. You left auto update on. Somebody installed something. Like just knowing what isn't in compliance with what you think the configuration should be.
Yep. And having that visibility into the state of your system is very important. And there is a huge shift in thinking that begins to happen for admins and operations folks when they start using tools like this.
Right.
Because you stop caring about the individual configurations on the machines and actually getting onto a machine to do something. Now it's this structural document that I'm managing. And when I need to make changes to my infrastructure, I'm making changes there. And I don't have to worry about how those changes actually happen out on the server. If it's already there, great. If it needs to work itself into getting to that state, the server's going to handle that. It's not this imperative thing where I need to install this application, so I'm going to go install this application.
Well, I also appreciate the idea. I don't just want a warning, hey, you're out of configuration. I want a solution.
Right. And as our infrastructures grow, I mean, you can run DSC and you can run most of these tools in a mode to kind of monitor and report, hey, I'm not in compliance. But certain environments aren't going to let you just autocorrect.
Right.
But as we gain confidence in the abilities of these tools, we can start building our environments to allow for that autocorrection. If, for example, I have an SLA that a site has to be up for a certain period of time and I'm running that service on one web server, but now I've modeled that web server in with one of these tools, extending that out to run that application on a second web server, as long as the application supports it, becomes trivial. I can apply that configuration down to a second machine.
Right.
And then now I can stick a load balancer in front. And so if I need to make changes, now I can more easily schedule my changes. And rather than a change will cause an outage.
Right. So doing the rolling, I mean, I've been cooking up rolling update solutions for websites since the 1990s. And mm-hmm. every one of them is unique. It depends on the hardware you were using and so forth. So you're talking about being able to build a template of a rolling update.
Well, I'm saying that you can if a rolling update is what you need to be able to do, you can make these tools aware of that, and so you could have a dependency on checking the load balancer, for example, to make sure that there's enough servers checked in to to take this out and update it. So you don't have to be afraid that these servers are necessarily going to just go off and do their own thing. So right. as we develop confidence in these tools and our ability to create this workflow around how they're going to update, we can build our confidence in them.
You can see the signs of how old I am, that when I think about rolling updates, I'm still thinking about bare metal machines, right? Hey, all my machines are in the pool because they're on, and yeah. I'm going to modify the load balancer rules to take a quarter of them out. We're going to apply the update to that quarter. You know, that sort of behavior is just, it's old school. Today, I guess, you know, I've done a few VM updates, but why wouldn't you just light new instances with the new configuration until you had enough of them to switch over, and then you pretty much just shut down the old instances?
So that is a perfectly valid option. And so the reason I was approaching it from the conversation the way we were just doing is because at Stack, we're pretty much all physical machines still as that goes. Anything of consequence runs on physical hardware there.
On bare metal.
Yep, bare metal in our own colo facility or in colo facilities, and you know we're not in the cloud anywhere. We have some virtualization, but pretty much everything that's public facing runs on bare metal. And so you can't, you know, a lot of people think, you know, oh, this DevOps stuff can only be done in the cloud, or this DevOps stuff can only be done if we're using, you know, if we're heavily invested in virtualization.
Right.
Not true. I can do rolling updates that are coordinated through desired state configuration or through Puppet or, you know, through any of these tools on physical infrastructure. I can do it on virtual infrastructure. I can do it in a cloud. It's a matter of building up a level of confidence in the tools. When I started getting into desired state configuration, I had it deployed on a handful of servers in my DR facility. So I could play with it and I could see how it responds. And as I gained confidence, I moved it to more machines. And then I moved it to my primary data center. And now it's running on, you know, pretty much every server, every Windows server that we have. And I'm okay with running it in apply and autocorrect, because as I've tackled the different use cases, this stuff, it's not a fire and forget kind of thing. This is something that you are very intentional about. If I'm going to control this resource, I need to know how this is going to behave.
Right.
And so that, you know, I'm going to be doing some training on building DSC resources for Tech Mentor coming up in the beginning of August. And one of the key things around building custom resources, and this is, again, for any configuration management platform, but for DSC especially, and that's where my training is going to focus, is that you want to make these things bulletproof.
Right.
You want to handle every single error condition that you can. When it fails or when it throws an error, that is going to be an exceptional state, because you're not watching these systems as this happens. Because this needs to be able to run in a completely automated fashion. And so you spend a lot of time up front testing. And this is where, you know, we start getting into some topics that aren't as familiar to the admin community. We talk about unit testing and integration testing.
Right.
And we talk about, you know, building these small functions that can be that can be cobbled together to create the utility we want, but they're small so that they're easy to test. Mm-hmm. And how we can isolate physical changes from things that are going to actually modify our system, how we can mock those out so that we can test those safely on our workstation. Like, for example, if I was building a resource to modify my page file, every time I test that resource, I don't want to physically modify the page file on my workstation. I want to make sure that all my business logic about determining whether or not the page file should be modified works properly, but I don't actually want to actually go and set things. So we're going to talk about tools that you can use to kind of mock out those commands so that you're not actually calling into that, but you know that the right steps would be taken.
Right.
And so a lot of this is stuff that's, you know, talked about a lot in the developer community, is around testing and things. But these are topics as you get into this infrastructure as code.
It opens the door to all that capability. It's like the dev guys have built a lot of stuff to be able to automate this kind of testing really well. So if you can play ball with the tool, you can take advantage of automating an awful lot of testing behavior before you deploy.
Right. And you know, the development community has been through, you know, a lot of the trials and tribulations, you know, figuring out how this stuff works and good patterns for doing that. And as we move into this infrastructure as code concept, these are skills and techniques that we in the admin community need to be picking up. And because when we start treating our servers as code, we start thinking of things like, how do I refactor the configuration right. in my system? I want to change this so that when I make a change to a template, it applies everywhere it needs to, but I only have to change as few locations as possible. So you want to figure out, you know, what are patterns for being able to do this? And books like Working Effectively with Legacy Code by Michael Feathers they take on a whole new feel when you start thinking about them in the concept of infrastructure. How do I, you know, working effectively with legacy infrastructure seems like it would be a whole nother book, but the concepts in Working Effectively with Legacy Code apply very much when we start playing in this infrastructure as code space.
Yeah, it's definitely a mindset piece of this. I'm still trying to figure out how all these bits go together, though, because DSC seems very approachable. It's in the box, as long as you're running 2012 R2 with PowerShell 4. It handles an awful lot of the configurations. I really only need to know PowerShell to operate this thing. I mean, is it Chef Ruby-centric?
It is. The DSL for the domain specific language for creating configurations is it's a very thin layer on top of Ruby, and it looks pretty similar to PowerShell. It's not all that different. There's a couple of key concepts on the Learn Chef site. There's actually like just enough Ruby for Chef, and it's like one page of it's like a one page thing on the Chef website about all the Ruby that you need to know to learn to write a chef recipe.
Right.
It's very straightforward. You don't have to get down and dirty unless you're going to start digging into the internals. But as far as getting started with, you know, DSC is very easy to get started with. It becomes more complex when you actually start getting to production scale with it. So a lot of the examples out there include things like, you know, there'll be a configuration. I'll show how you configure like two web servers and maybe a database server or something. And you can reasonably fit that configuration into a screen of text or into a good sample on a blog post. But that doesn't scale. And there's you have to then start developing patterns around, how do I extract enough metadata from my systems to properly describe my roles and my environments and how I want, you know, what's supposed to differ between dev and production? I don't want to specify that for every single node. I don't want to, you know, have this extremely verbose document that I have to go and do a find and replace to go change everything through when I need to modify a single setting in my environment. And these are patterns that are still building up in the DSC community.
Right.
I'm working on some blog posts and examples, and I've published a bunch of the tooling that I've come up with on the PowerShell.org GitHub repository. We have a community repository of resources and tools, and I've contributed a bunch of what I've done to that repository. And what you get in like Chef or, I'm trying to be a little agnostic because there's a lot of other tools that you can use that do a lot of similar things. But with Chef, you have a community that's come around a set of standards of how this stuff can be. And there's a defined way to set up your environments and set up your roles. And there's a hierarchy of inheritance for properties, you know, so that you can be able to, you know, have your general settings and then override them where you need to. And, so the other part is DSC is still a feature on Windows. It is not a full end-to-end solution. There's no centralized reporting or dashboard. There's no UIs around this. There is the local configuration manager, which is the part that actually does the work. There's the domain-specific language, which is how you describe your configurations. And that's PowerShell. Mm-hmm. And then you have a pull server environment, and you could either have a REST-based pull server or a file share-based, an SMB-based pull server. And those are the components that exist today. And there's not much else there. It's a very thin, kind of a minimum viable product type of feel. There are, you know, some enhancements and things coming out in version 5. They've released a couple previews of PowerShell version 5. Or Windows Management Framework version 5 that have some enhancements to DSC, and I'm sure they're going to keep coming with those until V5 releases. But at the core of it, it's still that there's still a lot of gaps in DSC that need to be filled in if you're going to use that as your production configuration management solution. And Stack Exchange is going to be continuing on with DSC as their as configuration management for Windows.
Sure.
And you know they're sold on it. I think it's a solid platform, but there definitely needs to be, you know, there needs to be some centralized reporting. If you don't have something that's going and crawling the event logs of these different systems that are being configured, you don't have a central way to look at what's going on.
Well, it's clear to me that DSC is a V1 product.
Yep.
It's going to need a couple of revs to grow up. The problem here is right now it's a free tool inside of the Windows suite. To grow it into a real server is to make it a product. You know, in some ways you think it should be part of System Center.
Right. And there hasn't been any public announcements around what System Center is doing with desired state configuration that I'm aware of. And so it's kind of all up in the air. And so
at the same time, I go to Learn Chef, click on the Windows Server button. It says, we're working on this. So,
yes.
You know, they're clear, you know, the announcements have been made that Microsoft and the Chef guys are playing together, but it isn't there yet. Clearly, so, some folks are making this work. It's just, right now it feels like it's still rocket science to make Chef work with Windows.
Yep. So there's a recent book out on Chef and Windows, I think through Packet Publishing or maybe A-Press. It's on the Chef blog. One of the customers of Chef actually recently did a book about that. There's a couple sessions at ChefConf about automating Windows with Chef. People are doing it. There is actually a Chef Fundamentals focused on Windows class. There's one actually coming up at the end of July. It's an online class, and so there are existing resources. The Learn Chef, you know, walkthroughs and stuff, that's probably going to be, you know, some of my responsibility to kind of get in there and you know, work on some of that material, you know, coming up.
And, you know, but my concern would be, as a Windows guy coming into the Chef community, is I'm going to ask newbie questions on the forums, and the answers are going to be, you know, if you're running Linux, you wouldn't have these problems.
Yeah, that is... So that very thing is one of the things that scares not necessarily scares, but makes it kind of an unfriendly experience.
Yeah.
That is not the experience that I've had with the Chef community. And that is, if you look back at ChefConf, Mark Rusinovich did a keynote there, and there was not one snarky tweet about his about the keynote, like you'd expect from a primarily, you know, Linux heavy crowd.
Sure.
You know, there was, wow, you can do that with Azure. Oh, wow. There's all these additional services. There's a lot of, there was a lot of positive feeling coming there, and watching the, you know, watching the chef community guys interact with people at TechEd, watching, you know, and looking at how they're looking at how they've been reaching out to the Windows community. They want to make the Windows experience good, in the terms of the Sheffians there, they want to make it a delightful experience.
Well, and I think it, you know, this works both ways now. Both sides have gotten friendlier with the other, more approachable to the other. I could see a straight Windows shop being a little hesitant to get into Chef, but as they start working through the tools, yeah, and realize I can, hey, I don't have to just manage Windows boxes here. I could manage Linux boxes. Like Owen opens the door to, you want to see what it's like to run ASP.NET on something other than Windows? You can try it. And it's just, yeah, not that big a deal. Light up a VM, use a configuration manager to handle it, and off you go.
And really, how many straight Windows shops are there?
Well, virtually none. Everybody's got some crossover. They, you know, nobody's, yeah, pure anything. But generally, they keep to themselves, right? The Java shop working on a stack of Apache-oriented, you know, on a LAMP stack, is not trying to manage their gear alongside the Windows side.
Right. But isn't that one of the problems that we have in our environments, is the siloing off and, you know, the failures to have these open lines of communication?
Yes.
And shared tooling is one way to help increase those lines of communication.
And we're always going to battle the same problem, which is the Chef came from the LAMP stack and is starting to play ball with Windows. So mm-hmm. it's probably going to be the LAMP guys who are going to stand it up and then see if they can poke their way into the Windows space. And they're going to struggle because they're not Windows people.
Yep. And you also have, you have the, you know, you have the reverse as well. You know, if you're trying to stand up your own Chef server internally, and you're a Windows guy, and you don't have a lot of experience on the Linux platform, you might have some you know, some learning curve there. But there is a hosted server that you can play around with. You know, that you can sign up for a free account and you not actually have to stand up your own Chef server,
right?
To kind of kick the tires and see how that works. And the community is very engaging, and we want to help. There's channels for, you know, for reaching, you know, whether it's out on Twitter, whether it's an IRC, whether it's through, through the forums. They regularly run, open, you know, as in free, available to whoever, these little, Chef Fundamentals webinars where they'll do like a, you know, 6 weeks of an hour a week. And well, they'll run through, and the videos then show up on YouTube as well, and where they do these walkthroughs, and there'll be mailing lists for, or Google groups or something for, you know, following up with questions, and there's a strong community team at Chef for coming out and engaging with people and trying to make it easy for people to participate in the Chef community, and that's basically what my role is going to be, is how can I make it easier for Windows admins to start playing in this space?
Make it a recognizable environment. You already know how to do this. Here's how you do it in Chef. Like those, I think that's what people are going to get really excited about. I mean, obviously there needs to be, from the open source side of things, or from the Linux side of things, all right, here's how you think this way about Linux. Here's how it works in Windows. So bringing these two worlds together, there's still a long row to hoe there.
There is, but there are a number of shops who are getting into this config management stuff whole hog. You know, you have companies like Ancestry.com who are doing a bunch of stuff on Windows with Chef, and have done some talks on that, and you have guys like Matt Stratton, who recently went to work as a solutions architect for Chef. He had been working for a consulting company out in Chicago, and they did a whole lot of Windows Azure work with Chef prior to him going to work for Chef. And there's a lot of examples of, you know, guys who fought the hard fight of getting the initial stuff working. Now it's going to be a, you know, game of, all right, how do we make this smoother? How do we make it better?
Right.
And how do we, you know, how do we make it a compelling story for Windows admins? And I think the DSC bits, as those kind of realize, are going to be a huge benefit, because Microsoft is making a huge push to get resources out and available, and to push product teams internally to develop resources, and encouraging developers externally. You know, there's integration now in Visual Studio and some of the newer bits for creating DSC configurations. And, you know, they want, and you hear guys like, Paul Stovall from Octopus Deploy, and the guys from Brewmaster starting to add support for DSC into their deployments. And, you know, as you see more DSC resources become available, if Chef has a full solution for, you know, reporting and, you know, segregating your data and, you know, building out the environment and tools for managing that, as well as being able to leverage all of those DSC resources that everyone's put all this effort into building, I think that's a big win.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and if you have a mixed environment, it's even more of a win.
Well, Steve, it's always fun to talk to you. The half hour sort of flies by. I'm really looking forward to seeing what you do over at Chef. Maybe you actually help bring these communities closer together and get us better and better at managing our infrastructure.
Well, that's the goal, and I'll be relying from feedback from guys like you and the rest of the listeners in the Run As Radio audience to help me make that happen.
You bet. Thanks so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.